The theme of the sermon this morning is you can have it all. And why shouldn't you? After all, you deserve it, right? Don't you deserve it all? And if you get it all, will you have everything you want? Sadly, the myth that you'll have everything you want if you get it all in this world is only the tip of the iceberg in our culture today. Some other myths that I'm hearing out there, and maybe you can identify them when I talk about them, they seem familiar to what we hear almost every day in the news and the advertising. One of them that's prominent in our world today is all your problems are somebody else's fault. Okay? You hear it? All my problems, they're somebody else's fault. They're not mine. The world owes me happiness. You hear that one? You hear that out there? You'll be happy if you get whatever you want. There's never any reason to feel guilty. Can you hear that one out there? Huh? Humankind is basically good and unselfish. All beliefs are equally valid as long as you believe them enough. You can have it all, and you deserve it all. How about this? You shouldn't have to wait for anything. Okay. Some of these are pretty obvious, right? And some of them are ones that we get really anxious about. How about this one? Takes a little thinking. Because you're God, the answers to everything lie within you. You should have everything you want, and even more, because you deserve everything you want. Boy, that's a deep one. And we know that will take us down a slippery slide. Well, we're going to wrap up our study today in the second letter of John. And there are some important words to see in regards to the myths that the culture is throwing at us. Let's pray and look at God's word and truth to us about the myths of the world that we live in. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come now by faith to you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you give us the truth, that you are the truth, that you live the truth. And that, Holy Spirit, you have inspired the word of God to us to teach us about the truth. And Lord, help us, even though there are times that it's difficult to follow that truth, to not be taken in by the myths of the world, the falsehoods that surround us. That, Holy Spirit, your word today would inspire us to know that we can have it all. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, the letter of 2 John, one chapter. We're going to look at verses 7 through 13. That's the end of the chapter this morning. So listen for God's word to you. It'll be up here on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along there. God's word to us, the truth to us today. John writes, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God, but anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, Don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink, for I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be complete. Greetings from the children of your sister, chosen by God. The word of God to us this morning. And I say to you, don't be fooled by the lies, the myths of the world that you live in. The myths that you can have it all according to the rules of the world. That is a myth. John continues a theme that he began in the first letter that we studied, 1 John. There are lots of false teachers, so be on guard. Be on guard. Because there are a lot of false lies out there. There are a lot of myths that have been perpetrated upon your mind and your heart and your lives and your family and even the church. When you believe, okay, when you believe and you study and you know the fullness of God's Word, you see that the culture that we live in has wandered far from the truth of Jesus. John tells us that it is essential that we hold to the truth of God in this world. Sin, in a sense, has gotten under our grip. We're supposed to hold tightly to the Word of God. But it seems that the myths of this world, the lies of this world, have worked their way under the grip of our hands, our lives, our faith, as we hold to the Word of God. They've worked their way under the grip. The modern way of handling sin has changed. It's worked its way under the grip that we have under the gospel of Jesus and God's Word. The modern way of handling sin is to pretend it doesn't have a hold on us. Okay? That's a real modern, that's a modern way. We got to pretend, you know. It's like, sin doesn't have a hold on me. Another way is to see it as funny. Sin is funny. Or sin is inevitable. Or sin is even fun. The modern way to deal with sin is to claim that we are so wise and think that sin isn't that bad. To disregard it, to ignore it, to pretend it doesn't exist. John wrote in 1 John, the first letter that we studied, in the 4th chapter, verse 3, he wrote, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world." Many false prophets in this world bringing to you many myths that are not true. God's Word tells us that the reason there are so many false prophets, well, I'm going to put it in my words, is because it's profitable. It's very profitable. The myths, the falsehoods that are put upon us every day, why would they do it if it wasn't profitable? It's financially profitable. It's numerically profitable because more and more and more people are following those myths. Those prophets, they're going to stay in business because they're making money and they're getting followers every day. But 1 John, John tells us that we need to test what is being taught. We needed to pause and go, wait a minute, what did I just hear? Is that in God's Word? Is that true? No. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 32 says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. This caught me. They invent new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Worse yet, we think we can have it all in this world, but let's read the fine print. We think we can have it all, but I encourage you to read the fine print because the devil is in the details. What will be the result of sinful decisions? If they are sinful and I make those decisions, even if I laugh at them, even if I justify them, even if I ignore them, there's going to be a consequence. These questions we need to ask aren't asked because deep down people today, people in our culture don't believe they have to pay for anything. I get everything because I deserve it, so I don't have to pay for anything. I don't even have to pay for the bad things I do. I can get off scot-free. That's the thinking, that's the myth of the world that we live in. You can have it all. That's what the world tells you. You can have the sin. And you know what? You will have the consequences of sin. We can have it all. We can have the sin, and we can have the consequences of sin. Look at Galatians chapter 6. I want to look at verses 7 and 9 for just a moment. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Sadly, in our world today, instead of the sense of shock we should experience at the sin that is being hurled at us, and instead of testing it with the Scripture, we have passively resigned ourselves to that's just the way the world is. We just live with it. You know, we kind of ignore it. We kind of pretend it's not there. And there's a great tendency to dismiss bad behavior in the world, even when that bad behavior is ours. Particularly when that bad behavior is ours. The world, okay? The world and the myths of the world provide us with all kinds of promises that ignore the fact of consequences. Books by the thousands I mean, literally, books by the thousands that promise you, if you will do this, you will be happy. Think about these for a moment. Think about this. Maybe my mind got to wandering this week. But the evolutionists see sin as immaturity. Okay? The evolutionists see sin as immaturity because we just haven't evolved enough to get beyond sin. See where that goes? Do you hear that myth out there? Well, we just got to grow a little bit longer and then we'll get past sin. We'll evolve past sin. Genetic technology. All right? See sin as nothing more than an undesirable behavior. And if we can just get rid of that gene, we'll all be perfect. Let's do it by genetic technology. Then we don't have to deal with the consequences. The humanists teach us that imperfection isn't really that bad. Okay? We all have our failures. Even the worst of sins is written. It really isn't that bad because everybody has that. We are just not perfect, so get used to it and live with it. Moral values become self-determined. And it all depends upon the situation, whether we are moral or not. It's situational. You know, I could go on with ways that sin and the consequences of sin are ignored in the world today. We find more and more new ways to sin and more new ways to get around it and more ways to forget about the consequences of sin. We try to ignore it. But God can't ignore it. God can't ignore the sin that is in our lives. And in fact, God won't ignore it. He knows us intimately. Sin has to be dealt with. The good news is that truth, real truth, is available to anyone who wants it. Jesus said to us, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Lies and sin need to be exposed. They're poison. They're infectious. Lies and sin need to be dealt with. The truth will set you free. That is the truth. The truth will set you free. That is the truth. When it comes down to it, we have a couple of options. We either have the world's ideas and myths, or we have the Word of God. We have the wisdom of the world, or the wisdom of God given to us in His Word. You either have a life that is built upon what the world tells you, or you have a life that is built upon what God's truth tells you. Which one's more reliable? I mean, I see the fluff. But what, is God's word more reliable than the wisdom of the world? Yeah. Amen. The problem that we face is a culture's wisdom is constantly changing. Okay? We're pretty sharp today. But in 5 years, they'll look back and go, "Well, they were not very smart about that." Think about your physical health. What they told us 20 years ago, they're going, okay, well, that's okay now. Don't drink coffee. Coffee's good. No? Yeah. I'm confused. Is that kind of the world's wisdom? Don't do this. Do this. I'm confused. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay? That's the truth. That's the truth for us. Challenge is, by the time we figure out that the wisdom of the world won't work, it might be too late. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18 sums up the ways of the world, I think. Well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the Scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Here at the table. Here at the table, we have the truth that will set us free. Here, you can have it all. You can have the fact, yeah, I'm a sinner and I've messed up. You can also have the fact that there's a Savior that died on a cross to forgive me of my sin, to help me have life, to help me live in the struggles that I go through today, to help me know not only the Son, but to know the Father, to know the Holy Spirit, to help me know that I have eternity with someone that loves me so much that they would send their one and only Son to come to the cross to die, to forgive me of my sin. I can have it all. I can lay all of those sins on the line. I don't have to cover them up. I don't have to ignore them. I don't have to pretend and laugh at them. And I can be honest. I can be honest and I can have it all. The forgiveness of all my sins. May we know the truth as we come to the table. And may we remember what John has written here in this second letter, verses 7 and 9. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. Here it says, but anyone, and I'd add you can have it all, who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. You can have it all when you're willing to believe, when you're willing to confess, when you're willing to receive His grace offered to you at the cross. And that's what we remember here at the table today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we go along in life so much, and there's so much falsehood that is thrown at us that, Lord, we don't always take the time to test it. And it slips into the grips of our hands. It slips into the grips of our faith. And it tears us away from the truth that sets us free. Lord, we're sinners. We want it all, and we can have it all if we're willing to confess to you. And so we take a moment right now to confess, Jesus, I'm a sinner. But I want it all. I want your forgiveness. And I believe and receive that. I want it all, Jesus. I want your resurrection in my life. I want it all, Jesus. I want your help in the problems I face today. I want it all, Jesus. I want the eternity with you that your word promises. The truth tells me I will receive. Lord, help us to believe, to trust your truth, to trust your forgiveness, to know that we can have it all with you. And I pray it in your name. Amen.